Blog Talk Radio.
Suzanne Northup at Blog Talk Radio. And I just want everybody to know this is my first night here on Blog Talk, and I'm really, really looking forward to connecting with a lot of people there. I do have a guest. We will bring him on in a little while here. But I just want to, I like to always open with a show, and I kind of thought that this was a perfect one because we are going into a little bit in spring, at least for those of us certainly on the East Coast here, and I know different parts of the country as well. So I kind of figured that this was a nice one to open up my new show with. It's one of my very, very favorite stories, or I would say poems, that has been sent to me. And so I'm going to read it appropriately. And again, I want to thank everybody here for checking me out tonight. And we will most definitely be taking calls. And by the way, I want everybody to know the number to call in here is 347-945-7785. That's 347-945-7785. With all of you that want to, you know, I will definitely be doing sessions and readings, as well as, like I said, as we bring our guest down here. So we're going to open up with one of my favorite pieces. It's called The Dragonfly. And like I say, what could be better in a springtime to be doing this? Under the lily pads, in the muddy water of a pond, there lived a colony of water bugs. They lived in a comfortable life in the pond, but once in a while, sadness would come to the colony when one of the water bugs would climb a lily stem and disappear. Then one day, one little water bug felt an irresistible urge to climb up on that stem. However, she was determined she would call back and tell her friends what she had found at the top. When she reached it and climbed out of the water onto the surface of the lily pad, she was so tired and the sun felt so warm that she decided she must take a nap. As she slept, her body changed into a beautiful dragonfly. She spread her wings and flew. And as she soared, she saw the beauty of a whole new world she'd never knew existed. Then she remembered her friends. She wanted to go back to tell them that she was more alive than she'd ever been before, but her new body could not go down into the water. She could not get back to tell her friends the good news. Then she understood that her time would come when they too would join her in the sunshine. So she spread her wings and flew off into a joyous new life. And that is our dragonfly story. And it was actually, interesting enough, it was sent to me a while ago by someone who had lost their mom, and this they just happened to find in the middle of her Bible, and no one had even known that she'd even had it there, and they happened to find it like 1 week after she passed. So they have emailed me this, and I figured this is a great thing to always connect. So let's just see here who we've got on the line. Hello, are you there?
Hello, this is Tim Link with Wagging Tales.
Hey, Tim, how you doing?
I'm doing excellent. How are you tonight?
Very well, thank you. So we have a couple people now. I told everybody I was going to surprise you with my guest, and as I read my dragonfly, which I thought was kind of perfect, Tim is an animal communicator, and his book is called Wagging Tales, and you can also check it out, Wagging Tales. It's actually, there's a hyphen, waggingtales.com. And so, you know, being an animal communicator, and you know I've had a couple of them on the show before, but this is a wonderful, wonderful book, and I know Tim's been doing this for a while. So how does one – well, let's put it to this. How does one become an animal communicator, Tim? I mean, I know that there are different processes that we can all do, each of us, to learn to tune in and open up. And you want to share that with our listeners a little bit?
Yeah, well – there are some ways that you can get better in touch with your animals. You know, my gift sort of presented itself about 5 years ago, and I really think it's a gift because it's something I hadn't planned on doing or planned on discovering. You know, I'd always had a passion and love for animals. My wife and I have always had numerous animals in our lives. We do a lot of work with animal rescue organizations around the area. So we've always had animals there. But when this gift presented itself, I was not working with animals. I was actually a telecom executive. I was a vice president and director selling cell phones and cell phone technology.
It's always one of those things, you know?
Well, I think it is. You know, I think when it's the right and perfect timing, and when that happens, you know, God presents those gifts to you, and
absolutely,
you have to decide what to do with them.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
Well, interesting, you still were in the listening area. You just weren't listening to animals.
That's
you
right.
You were working with the telephones here.
That's right. So we were communicating using cell phones and communicating with people, and now we're communicating with animals, and it's been a wonderful journey already. It's been amazing. The gift continued to grow. The information I continued to receive was growing, and the word got out that I had this gift, and more people called me. And now I have people that you know, contact me from around the world to help them with issues with their animals, to help them with lost pets, and to help them get through the grieving process when their animal's in that, you know, that process of transitioning. And
of course, yes, yes.
Yeah. So I couldn't ask for a better role.
Very important work.
Yeah, I think so. And, you know, I always say, you know, my sort of what I'm trying to accomplish here is I want to give the animals a voice.
Mm-hmm.
And at the same time, I want to build the best relationship possible between you and your pets. And so far, so good.
That's great. Again, anybody want to call in, some questions for Tim, you can call 347-945-7785. The book is called Wagging Tails, but you can get go to his site, which is wagging-tails.com. I mean, one of the things that you know, because I've been around a few animal communicators a few times in my life, and one of the things that I was always made aware of, and I'm sure that this is probably something that's been also pretty strong in your work, is that they tend to be much more receptive to more of the thought visual than the actual words. In other words, you know, when I would learn, because they work much better from what I know the mental signals than actual word signals.
Yeah, well, you know, animals are very visual creatures and they pick up very quickly on visualization. But I always encourage people to use a combination of both. And the reason I say that is, first of all, I do believe animals understand the words that we're saying. They understand what we're trying to tell them. In addition to saying those words and having them understand those exact words, they're also seeing that visualization. Because subconsciously, when we say words, we think pictures as well.
Right, right.
You know, great example is, you know, one simple test that I give people to explain this better is I'll give you two words, and you let me know if you hear the words and if you get the picture.
Uh-huh.
And so the two words are blue ball, blue ball. Now, did you hear me say those words?
Yes.
Yes. And did you visualize a blue ball of some sort?
Absolutely.
There you go.
Yes, yes.
And that's what
go.
We're saying with the animals.
Uh-huh.
And so they're hearing those words. They're picking up on that subconscious visualization. You can go into deeper visualization, deeper mental connection with them if you choose. But at the very least, you say the words. They see the mental image that you're trying to project. And the third thing is that you're getting it sort of off your chest. You know, you said the words. They understand it. So I feel better. My energy feels better. And thus the animals will respond to positive energy.
That's great. So if we have a couple callers that want to call in and ask you some questions, they can do that. Am I correct on that, Tim?
They definitely can.
Okay. So we're going to take a caller in a minute. But before I do that, I'm sure that, you know, I know that you definitely said a couple of the things of why people do contact you. Obviously, there's a whole lot of other, you know, things. But just kind of like, I think animals are probably like people. You know, some are more talkative than others. Is that possible?
That's true. Each individual animal has its own personality. And I get asked that a lot. You know, does the horse talk more than the cat? And does the rhino talk more than the elephant?
Mm-hmm.
And it really doesn't matter what the species is or what the breed is. It's more of each individual animal's personality. So a particular dog can be very talkative, very flamboyant, give me pictures, feelings, colors, emotions, words, the whole gamut. And the other dog can be very quiet, subdued, just give me, prefer to communicate in one fashion and just give me a few bits of information.
Mm-hmm.
So it's very much like us as humans. Yeah.
It makes total sense. I mean, you know, people think, you know, I mean, people that are animal people know that all their animals are very different. So, you know. So one other question before we take a caller. What is probably one of the most common problems that you're asked to help people with?
The infamous kitty will no longer use the litter box. Yes. I'm thinking about writing the next book, which is Instead of Wagging Tails, Every Animal Has a Tail. It's Wagging Tails, Why Won't Kitty Use the Litter Box? I think
Wow.
That's what I'm thinking about doing.
That's a big one, then.
It is. Huh. It is. And, you know, the cat
so that's
is
obviously for kitties. That's obviously not for doggies.
Well, doggies have their own issues, that's for sure.
Right.
But you know, cats are very smart. Cats are, you know, typically are fairly independent. They come in and out of the rooms and in and out of our household when they choose to.
Oh,
and
yeah,
often
yeah.
they often get overlooked. We don't pay attention to them until they're there or until it's feeding time. So to get our attention, when there is something wrong, they stop using the litter box.
Wow.
And then we have to determine, okay, is that a physical problem that they're going through? So maybe they got a urinary tract infection or kidney problem or whatever it may be. Is it an emotional problem that they're going through, which could be a major shift in the household, change in routine, something that is worrying them. If you as a owner are worried, all of a sudden the animal's picking that up. So it could be an emotional problem, or it could be a mental problem, i.e. you brought kitty number two home without explaining what you were doing to kitty number one.
Uh-huh.
So now they've got head thing going on. So we got to figure out what that is, and then we put some methods in place and things that you can do to help your kitty, and then we explain to kitty what's going on so kitty can get back in the litter box and start doing his or her thing.
Mm-hmm. Wow, yes. They definitely want, when they want you to know, they definitely want to know here. Let's take a caller here. Hello?
Hello?
Hey, how you doing tonight?
I'm doing well. Hey, Suzanne.
Okay. So do you have a question for Tim?
I do. Hi, Tim.
Hi, how are you tonight?
I'm delightful. How are you?
I'm delightful, and you sound delightful, too.
Good.
And who are we talking to?
This is Patty.
Patty, okay.
All right. A little feedback. It sounds like your audio is still open. Maybe press the stop button.
Okay.
Does that help?
Yeah. What do you think?
I'm here, and it sounds okay to me.
Okay.
It sounds like I'm getting a little feedback on my end. So.
All right. Well, I have a little kitty cat named Sheba, and last summer she got into a tussle with another bigger cat outdoors, and she was very sick, and we had to take her to the vet and get some surgery done on her, and it's been a long recovery. There was a point where she wouldn't even eat. She was so sick, and I had to feed her with a little dropper. And it's been a long road back for her, and I was just wondering how she's feeling and what she's thinking. And
she's still feeling a little stressed. I wouldn't say about that situation, but health-wise, she feels a little stressed. How has her eating been lately?
It's better.
Better? Okay.
It's better, but she has to have her food watered down. She can't eat like she used to.
Okay. So two things I would do is I still feel a lot of what I call prickly energy, so that's uncertain energy, a little bit of nervousness, we'll call it however you want to label it, but a little bit of prickly energy in there. So a couple things I would suggest doing is, one, explain to her, even after all this time, explain to her what that situation was, what she needs to do about it, and why it's okay now, why it's a good thing. So, because she's still worried that if that may happen to her again. And I actually feel like she's sort of blaming herself for it, which I don't think was the case at all.
Mm.
I don't think she was the instigator in this case.
No, she wouldn't be.
Yeah. So just make sure she understands that wasn't
her
fault.
She's very sweet. I'm sure she's a very sweet kitty.
She is. She's very, very docile, and she runs from a fight, and she really has no intention of aggression.
Yeah. Well, I would definitely recommend, you know, I always tell people to talk to their animals and talk to them in a basic way. And the best way to do that is tell her what the situation is, or was in this case,
mm-hmm.
what she needs to do about it to help the situation out, and why it's going to be okay. So you tell her that, I know you're still upset and it's still bothering you about the incident last year, but that's done, and you don't have to worry anymore. So that's what the situation is. Mm-hmm. What you need to do about it is be a big, strong kitty and eat all your food and love mommy all to death. And then why would you want to do that? Well, it's going to make mommy very happy, and it's going to make you feel better.
Aww.
Yeah, and you walk her through that, and you talk it out, and you know, just reiterate it over and over, and she'll start to feel that calming energy.
And that
so
is my concern.
She can verbally say this to the kitty, right?
By all means, yes, definitely so. Definitely so. Just like we talked about, when you verbalize it, kitty will, your cat will see the imagery behind it and visualization behind it, and you'll feel better about it too because you've gotten it off your chest. And then, you know, the other thing is from like a supplement standpoint, you may want to try to introduce some calming agents, some things into her diet, liquid form, like flower essences and things of that sort that you can drop in the water or drop on the food as you moisten it up. That just works as a calming agent for her as well, and that'll help build her confidence as well.
Oh, that's a great idea.
Yeah. So try those things out.
I had a dream that the reason she was so nervous about eating was that she was eating when this cat jumped her. Now, I don't know if that's true, but...
Well, always pay attention to your dreams. They're always trying to tell you something. So, So follow those, and you can once again, if you saw that in a dream state, and you think possibly that is the case, then tell her that again when she's eating her new food that other kitty won't be around, so she needs to continue to eat and be a big girl and make mommy very happy.
Oh, that's great.
Yeah,
that's
so
great.
Give it a try and see if we can get her back on track.
I am. I'm going to try that.
Super.
I appreciate it. Thank you.
Thank you.
Okay. Yeah, that sounds like a very, very, very good advice.
Yeah, well, I think it will work. I think her cat will be fine. Sometimes it takes longer than others. But, you know, the interesting thing I find out about animals is they, you know, they understand their past, and they have mm-hmm. some worries and concerns just like we do. But the cool thing about animals is they don't live in that past. They live in the moment, and they work every day to try to fulfill their mission and their purpose. And so they'll understand it. Maybe they still have a little bit of trauma to get over, mm-hmm. but they won't hang on to it forever. Unlike us humans, we want to get rid of our past, but we often hang on to it like it's a golden egg. So, you know, we need to let go of it, understand your past, learn from it, live in the moment.
Yeah, that's a very solid, good message for everybody to heed. And I think you're right. I do think that, you know, that animals are, it's a lot easier for them to do that than it is for people. For sure. I mean, I know that, you know, in my work, you know, I tell people that animals very commonly see, you know, people that have passed over. I mean, they, you know, it's nothing strange to them, but it's very strange to, you know, to people. Animals, it's a much more, you know, natural, common process.
Exactly. You know, we all have that same, we're all energy, we're all brought into whatever form we are in, and then we leave this world. And we can learn a lot from our animals. We just have to, you know, we have to push our ego aside. We have to push our, you know, what people expect out of us aside and just open up and let that flow through. And you'd be amazed at what you can pick up. And the best way to do that is to watch your animals and connect with your animals.
Okay. My guest is Tim Link, and the book is called Wagging Tails. You can check him out at the webpage,
Wagging-tails.com. That's T-A-L-E-S. T-A-L-E-S, yeah.
Not you would think it would be T-A-I-L, but I think the T-A-L, yes, it exemplifies it very, very well. We're going to take a quick break. This is Suzanne Northup at Blog Talk Radio, taking your calls, and we will definitely be doing messages later on. And, again, my guest is Tim Link. The book is called Wagging Tails. We're going to come back, and we're going to learn more about your animals. Communicate with animals?
Well, I think we all have the ability to communicate with animals. It depends on what level and how open you are to it. You know, I do consider mine a gift, and I'm able to perhaps connect with them at a much deeper level than some, but everybody has the ability to connect with their animals. You know, we all have that heart connection already there.
Mm-hmm.
And I know that we have the intuitive connection there as well. We just have to trust it. So I always tell people to, first of all, if you want to have better communication with your animals and better understanding of them, then spend time with them. Get into your quiet place, whether it's meditation, prayer time, or just quiet time with your animals. Clear yourself out. Get rid of all that craziness that's going on in your head all the time. You know, got to take the laundry in. I got to do this, got to do that. And ask questions and start with simple questions. Get the whatever you receive back. Write it down, and then, most importantly, trust it. Trust what you're getting. And, you know, when I'm out there doing speaking events and working with, organization, whether it's rescue organizations or, AKC groups or other animal groups out there, I always ask people one question. You know, the question is, have you ever taken your pet into the veterinarian because you knew there was just something wrong? The cat or dog or whatever wasn't showing any real signs of it as far as, you know, throwing up or not eating, those things. But you just knew something was wrong.
Something was not right, correct.
Yeah. And yes. So you take the animal into the vet, and sure enough, there's something wrong. And you thought, wow, that was a good guess or something. No, that's your connection with your animal. That's
if your animal is telling you that.
That's exactly
absolutely
right. So you got to trust it.
Yes. No. That I know. I know that they tell us things all the time, and you're right, because, you know, most of us are, you know, running around in sort of a crazy world and trying to do all the things one needs to do, and we forget that stuff.
That's true.
But they remind us. They very clearly remind us.
They definitely do. So you just have to trust what you're receiving and act upon it and talk to your animals, and I guarantee you're going to form a better connection with them.
Absolutely. So, you know, I know that. I mean, I know there's obviously, you know, an obvious question to this. But you know, besides this communication stuff, I mean, there's obviously got to be a lot of benefits and a lot of ways that it improves your issues or your connections with your animals just by learning a few of these, you know, these tools.
Exactly right. You know, in the book, Wagging Tails, Every Animal Has a Tell, not only does it have 32 stories of animals that I've worked with and we've helped solve problems or help situations out or find lost animals, but I've also included 24 helpful tips, things that you can implement today that will make your life better with your animals. You know, for instance, when we leave the house, our animals have a great deal of anxiety.
Mm-hmm.
Now, you know, it really doesn't matter if it's the same routine you follow. Maybe you go to work and come home at the same time every day, or maybe it's a big change and adjustment. Maybe you travel a lot, or maybe you're going on a trip, whatever it may be. The animals still have that great deal of anxiety. So I always tell people to do the following. When you leave the house, you tell your pets where you're going. You tell them when you'll be back.
Mm-hmm.
And most importantly, what are they to do while you're gone? So give them a job to do. It doesn't have to be anything fancy. So you simply say, Spot, Daddy's going to work. I'm going to be home in 8 hours, which will be 6 p.m., and I need you to lay down and be a good boy. That simple. Because
mm-hmm.
once again, when you do that, you are saying the words, which they understand. The visualization comes through, so they pick up on that. And now that calming feeling, because you've already told them what's going on, you feel that positive energy. And you'd be amazed at how positive they respond. And there's a wonderful story in the book about that particular situation where their cat all of a sudden after 10 years started urinating on everything. And come to find out, it had nothing to do with a physical problem. It had everything to do with the fact that her human companion or her owner was now coming home 2 hours later than usual and never bothered to tell her.
Uh-huh.
And so once she started doing this process of telling her where she was going, when she'd be back, and what is she to do while she's gone, the cats responded. It's been over a year, and life's just dandy again.
Right. Yeah. You think naturally when you are in a relationship with whomever you're in a relationship to communicate. You know, like you would never think of not telling the person that you're living with that you're not working 2 hours later.
Exactly. You know, or leaving the house without telling your kids, and or if your spouse or significant other, you can actually just say, "Hey, I'm going shopping. I'll be back when I want to. Go out and mow the lawn." You know, you could do that, but no, just kidding. But you know, you do want to communicate with them, and the biggest challenge any relationship has, or any
mm-hmm.
family has, is
mm-hmm.
the lack of communication, and
mm-hmm.
that is no different for our pets. They want to be part of all of it, and you got to explain to them what's happening as well.
Yeah, no question about it. So, how do you deal with pets that are lost, Tim?
Well, I do a lot of lost pet consultations, and you know, as a matter of fact, just last night we had one cat, three dogs from all different corners of the country, and people will contact me, and some of the pets have been gone for a while, and some have just recently left. And what we do in those situations is, you contact me, forward me a picture of your pet, the name of the pet, and the location that the pet was last seen. And then what I do from there is connect with the animal, see if they can tell me the reasons why, see if there's some reasons that are preventing them from coming back, find out where they're at as far as pictures, colors, feelings, emotions, everything that they share with me. And then I take that information and combine it with a method called map dowsing. So I pull up a map of the area, I use my pendulum to douse the area, and we try to narrow it down as close as we can. And hopefully, based on those two bits of information, we can either locate where the animal's at, either the exact location or the general area, and or convince them to come back. Now, we have a great deal of success in this, but there are always challenges. The challenge of, can the animal get back? Maybe they were taken by someone, or now someone found them and are planning on keeping them. perhaps the animal's been chased off by a predator and is afraid
mm-hmm.
to come back.
Mm-hmm.
Maybe the animal, has met, peril. Maybe they've gotten injured or killed, by a car or whatever the means may be, and we can find that out. And then other times, to be honest with you, this is the hardest one of all, is sometimes animals leave because they fulfilled their purpose with us at that time, and now they're going somewhere else to fulfill a similar purpose.
Mm-hmm.
So, we talk about animals as well as humans come down here with a purpose and a reason
right.
we're here. And sometimes for the animals, it's to teach us things like love, to get us through a particular tough situation in our life, whether it be a divorce or a illness, whatever it may be. And then once they've gotten us through that, they're ready to move on and help someone else. And as hard as it is for us to understand that and to absorb that,
mm-hmm.
We have to appreciate that that they have a purpose and maybe they can go on and help other people as well. So there's a lot that goes into it. It's not an easy process, but we've had a great deal of success. There's some wonderful stories in the book about that, about a cat that was lost in the Bronx City Island, New York, by the name of Madison, and Madison went on a three-week journey, and I followed her on that journey for 3 weeks, and we finally got her to come back to the doorstep of her apartment complex right where we expected her to. So it's a fascinating story, a great story that we got Madison back home, and as a matter of fact, I just got back a couple weeks ago from New York City with the book tour, and I had a chance to meet Madison's mommy, her owner, for the first time, because I did all this work from Atlanta, Georgia, where I live, and I never had been to the City Island, Bronx, New York. So,
a little different, huh?
It's just a little bit different, a little bit different. So it's exciting work. It's always it's heartfelt. It's joyous when we get them back home, and it's painful when we can't, but
mm-hmm.
at least you have a better understanding of what's going on and what's happened with your animal if it does
mm-hmm.
does get lost.
Mm-hmm. I also know that one of the other things that you do, which I obviously have a lot of students and clients over the years that do it as well, is you do a lot of Reiki healing. You said you really recommend that for your animals.
Yeah, absolutely. I'm a Reiki master, and I focus uh-huh. on using Reiki energy healing to help animals that are going through stressful times, going through dis-ease, to give them a better quality of life. I think energy healing is a wonderful complement to traditional veterinarian medicine. So if you have an animal that is sick or having some issues, that we can use that energy healing to help clear out those blockages, open up those chakras and try to push some of that out and complement whatever else you're doing. So, that's all part of that whole holistic approach to veterinarian care. And we're starting to see a real shift in westernized veterinarians medicine in taking a look at energy healing, whether it's Reiki or whether it's some of the other modalities out there.
That's fabulous. That's really fabulous. I think that's true. I think that's changed all the way around. But I also think that animals are very, very receptive to it.
Yes, they are. They are. It's interesting when they first receive it, will take a very small dosage of it, and they're wondering what the heck it is. They can feel the energy. If you're there doing it in person, they can feel that energy come out, and often they'll turn and sniff your hands and figure out, well, what the heck is this stuff all about? But then once they relax and start absorbing it, they really respond positively to it, take it in for quite a bit of time, and the Reiki knows exactly where to go and knows where to open up those blockages.
Yeah, it is quite wonderful, and I always tell people that it doesn't matter what. And I know this is particularly true of cats. I think it's true of doggies as well, but it's certainly true of cats, that you can be anywhere in the house doing some kind of either meditating or prayer or anything like that, and they will. You look down and they will be there in 2 seconds.
They do. You're absolutely right, because they like that energy.
They love that energy. Cats particularly love that energy.
Yes, they do. And an interesting thing about it is when we talk about energy and we talk about positive energy and letting it flow freely, and then we talk about negative energy and blockages and things that bring us down, animals will do everything possible to deflect negative energy. But if they're constantly being surrounded and bombarded by it,
mm-hmm.
then the tide will change and they'll start to absorb that negative energy. And at that point, you have to be concerned, because then they can start, you know, having issues like dis-ease and everything else like we have.
Right, right, right. Mm-hmm.
So it's a good monitor. You know, hopefully you won't let it to get to that extreme. But, boy, if your animals are starting to act a little different or feel a little different, that's a great time for you to take a step back, take a breath, look within yourself, and look within the family unit to see what's going on. And more than likely, there's probably something that's, you know, causing the issue, or at least exasperating the issue with the animal.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, well, you know that they're doing something, because for sure they want to let you know about it.
Yes, exactly. And they will tell you all about it, and you just need to listen to hear what they have to say.
Yeah, no, absolutely. You definitely have to listen to see what they have to say. So, you know, and just kind of like, so what are just some of, like, you know, of the best kind of, like, tips that you could, you know, you can give somebody, Tim, about how they can communicate? What are some of the important points that you feel is really, really, really help people in terms of connecting with their animals?
Yeah, I think it all goes back to some of the things we said earlier. You first got to get in your quiet zone.
Mm-hmm.
And eventually this will become a natural thing to you. If you're not used to doing meditation or prayer work, or just even just sitting there doing nothing, turn off the TV, put down, you know, everything around you, and just spend that quiet time and clear your mind, clear your thoughts, let that flow through. And once you get in that state of mind, then you talk to your pets, and you talk to them verbally.
Mm-hmm.
And let that visualization come through, and you project what you're wanting to say to them. You receive the information back from them in whatever form that they want to give it to you. Jot it down a little piece of paper, and use that information. And the most important thing is to trust it. Trust what you're receiving and act upon it, because that's the biggest challenge we have as humans, is, you know, letting our questions pop. We don't trust what we get. We start to read too much into it, yada, yada, yada. And next thing you know, we've just totally forgot about, you know, crushed up the paper and forgot about what we just heard.
Right. Now, if people want to reach you, they can go right to your webpage, the www.wagging-tales.com.
You got it. That's the best way to find out about who I am, what I do, find out more about animal communication and Reiki energy healing, set up a private consultation if you wish to find out more about your pet and help solve problems. You'll find out more information about the new book, Wagging Tales, Every Animal Has a Tail. And
mm-hmm.
there's also this wonderful free monthly e-newsletter that we send out the first of every month. And not only does it keep you abreast of what's going on, but we put a couple of helpful hints in there and things that you need to know about as an animal owner that can help you out today. So sign up for that free e-newsletter, and we'll be glad to get it out to you.
That's great. Well, this has been wonderful, and, you know, I mean, I know that there are a lot of animal people that are my listeners, and I think that you've given them some really, really nice sort of suggestions for them to sort of, like, connect about it. And obviously, anybody who is an animal person, you want to check out Tim's book and get some of the answers to some of the questions that we talked about tonight, and obviously a whole few more. So this is great. We'll take another quick break, and we'll be back with your calls at Suzanne Northup at Blog Talk Radio, and we're gonna catch up for the rest of the night of doing messages, and also I'm gonna update you guys on some things that are else going on. Again, this is Suzanne Northup at Blog Talk Radio with my special guest Tim Link, the author of Wagging Tales, and you can check him out at wagging-tales.com. We'll take a quick break, and we'll be right back. Tim?
Yeah.
Hey, that was great.
That's wonderful. Well, thanks so much for having me on. I appreciate it. And if you ever want to do it again, just drop me a note. We'll definitely see if we can get some more callers in and help them out.
Thank you. We'll do.
All right. Take care.
You know.
Bye-bye.
Thank you. So who do I have online? Hello? Are you
Hello?
There? Hey, this is Suzanne. Who am I talking to, please?
Hello?
Hello? You can't
Hi.
Hear me?
Yeah, I can hear you. It's Raina.
Hey, Raina, how you doing?
Hi. Pretty good. Doing better.
Good.
I was
good.
Just interested in the show because of Tim being the animal communicator and how he has tips about how we can communicate messages with our pets.
Mm-hmm.
I was wondering, does he know anything about after-death communication or messages when a pet's deceased?
Well, I do know that one of the things that he does talk about, and he's off the air now, but he does talk about very much how to communicate in general. But I think he also has he talks about communicating telepathically with animals, and that always, by the way, Raina, happens when animals do pass over. So, you know, I like to let people know that they definitely will make that connection to you. Obviously, it's a little different than with people, and you have to, like, look for the signs, because there are going to be different kinds of signs in general than there are even when, you know, when a pet is here. So, you know, he didn't say that, but I would be very, very surprised if he didn't talk about it, because he definitely does talk about literally dealing with animals in the grief process after they pass over. So that
yes,
is definitely something that's part of his work.
I was having a lot of dreams, and I thought there were contact dreams, but some of them were sad, so I don't know how much of that was subconscious as well as. But I still haven't had any, like, communication dreams where I see her at peace or happy. This is a cat
right.
that died a year ago, very under tragic circumstances.
Then what I'm going to tell you is happening is that you are right. What you are experiencing is your fears, your issues, not the kitty.
Right.
Because when we have those kind of dreams, I always tell people that contact dreams are one where they're letting you know that they're fine, they're giving you those presents, they're hanging out, they're doing that. And those are what I call contact dreams. And it doesn't matter if it's a human or an animal. So if
yeah.
you're still having that, Raina, it really has to honestly do with the fact that it's your still own, like, kind of personal grieving, to be honest with you.
Yeah, well, they've stopped. They've stopped for quite a while now, but I don't know if that's because she's moved to a higher plane because
mm-hmm.
of the distance of time. Maybe that's it, too, that she's not on the – I mean, it was easier to communicate with her in the few months or 6 months after the death than it
right,
is a year
right.
after.
You know, I will tell you this, that the longer they're there, sometimes there is less communication, but that still doesn't mean that you still wouldn't get it.
Yeah.
All right. So
Do they think they can forgive you if you overlook something when they were ill? I mean, because they're in a different
absolutely.
Place.
Absolutely. They don't care all that stuff. They don't. First of all, even humans don't care that when they pass over.
Yeah.
But animals certainly don't, for sure. Yeah.
Right. So it's our putting our guilt or our regrets
it's
onto
our
the
stuff.
Situation.
You got it.
Okay. I'm glad you're on this blog. Ray, this is your new show?
This is my new show, yes.
Oh.
I'll be doing it the first Monday of every month. Well, I'm going to
oh.
find either the 6 or the 7 o'clock slot. And all this stuff, of course, is on my webpage. But, yes, we're going to be doing
okay.
it first.
Well,
we're
I'm glad.
We're going to continue on the Mondays. Thank you.
Great talking to you.
Thank you, honey.
Bye.
Take care.
Bye.
Bye-bye. Okay. Hello? Who's there? Okay, well, I guess we'll try this one then. Hello?
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 Hey, this is Suzanne.
Hi, this is Vince. How are you?
Hi, Vince. How are you doing?
I'm doing great.
Good. I'm
so,
glad to hear that.
Well, I could be doing better financially. I want to call and see if you had any messages for me, especially pertaining with finances. Just to give you an idea, what happened was a year and a half ago, I was fired from my job, wrongful termination, and I am suing the company, and I just sent out letters to also sue the union because they did not defend me, and they were in bed with the company, and I got evidence. And at the same time right now, I'm still looking for another job. I haven't been able to find anything. But my heart and goal lies in acting. So I'm wondering if you could just shed some light on what's going on.
Okay, well, first of all, Benson, my specialty is more connecting than what I call professional advice.
Okay.
But I will tell you this, because usually, like I said, you know, my specialty is connecting with those that have made the transition. But there is one thing that I will sort of say to you, and I don't know why here, but I have to just ask you this really quick here. Are you nearing some kind of a birthday cycle? Did it just happen not long ago, or is it coming up?
Well, actually, it's coming up. I have a couple of birthdays coming up. My wife's birthday is next month, and mine is the month after.
Okay, great. I don't know why, but they said to me that there would be some kind of either a shifting, whatever that means, or some kind of a much better movement right after that time than right now. So I would definitely keep punching out there. I would keep going through it. You may still, what I call, meet up with some walls. I wouldn't, you know, I mean, I think that might be just part of the cycle that you're on for right now. But I definitely would, and I would definitely keep pushing. I just get a sense that much more of either the floodgates or the energy is going to go as you get right very close to a little more after your birthday.
Okay. Well,
okay,
I
think that's the cycle that you're in.
Okay. Because you said you do messages from the other side for people who've moved
mm-hmm.
on.
Yes.
Well, there's a couple of people. One of the reasons why I got fired was because there was a friend of mine that worked there, and her and I became really good friends, and she was kidnapped leaving work one day, and a month later they found her body, and the company found out that I had done an interview with the police department on her case, and to them it's like a black eye. They don't want that kind of publicity, and this is one of the reasons why I was fired. So that's one person. Then I found a really great agent who signed me to contract just before the Christmas vacation. And then right after Christmas, she closed the office because of illness, and her daughter told me she died of lung cancer.
Mm-hmm.
And then my dad's gone, too.
Okay. More than likely, the other two people would not show up, only one, because you couldn't validate a lot of the information connected to them.
Mm-hmm.
But I will tell you this, I do pick up your dad, but I want to ask you this real quick here, Vince. Is your first or middle name passed down from him, or is his name passed down from somebody else?
No. In my family, being from Europe, the way it's supposed to work is the first male born gets the father's name. And it's really funny that it didn't happen because I have a brother who I haven't spoken to in like 20 years. He did not get my dad's name, but I did.
You did, okay.
And I'm the second one born, and we're a year apart.
Makes sense. Because that's the way that they identify with me. So that's his way of letting me know that he's coming through, okay?
Okay.
Because he's telling me an honoring of the name. Now, I will tell you this, please. Does look like your dad's been gone a while. And
yeah.
I'd be very surprised if he wasn't a smoker or had a lot of lung issues.
He was a smoker, but he actually committed suicide.
Ah, interesting. Okay, because I'm very heavy in the chest.
Yeah,
It's a chest like a combination of either smoke or something else of what he passed from. But
alcohol.
I'm very heavy in that area. Yeah.
Yeah.
Very heavy in that
so
area.
He had two major addictions.
Yeah. Makes a bit of sense. But I want to ask you one other thing connected to
sure.
him, Vincent. Did you lose a dog, or did he? Please.
Oh my God. We had a dog when I was about 11 years old. We
mm-hmm.
had a dog named Snoopy, and she was so adorable. Her and I, you could not separate us. If my dad tried to attack me, or any members of my family tried to attack me, the dog would bark, and then she wouldn't bite, but she would be barking a lot, trying to protect me.
Wow,
because
well, that
her
makes
and
a lot
I
of
were
sense.
Great.
Well, obviously, your daddy's showing up with your dog, and he wants you to know that they're both doing just fine.
Oh, that's amazing. You hit it on the head.
Keep yourself centered, Vincent. Keep
okay.
yourself positive. Keep pushing out there. I always tell people you got to move the energy because once it's ready to open up, you know, you keep your plugging out there doing it. But I think as you get closer to your birthday, you will start to see a shift. All right?
Okay. All right. Well, thank you very much.
You're very welcome.
All right. Bye-bye.
Take care. Okay. Hello? I think we have another caller here. And the lines have been a little strange, so I'm trying to – are you there? Let's try if I tried this again here. Okay. They keep telling me that you're on this line,
And hello? Okay, I guess we're going to try again here. So I'm going to try one more time with this person here on this line. Okay. So I guess they're not coming in, or we haven't got them in at that moment here. But I'm going to try it one more time. And, again, the number to call is 347-945-7785. Are you there? I'll try it again. Hello? I'm hearing it in my ear, but I'm not hearing you. Are you there? Hello? This is line one. Is Suzanne? Okay. So, you know, I'm going to just keep trying to hit you on that line here. And like I said, the number for everybody else to call is... Hello? Are you still there? I think you just went off. We'll try you one more time again. Okay, yes, we did get a hang up on that one. So, but anyway, the line is still back open. You can try it again, 347-945-7785. So there's just a couple other things that I want to mention to you. And, well, we're going to try this caller again here. Hello?
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 Hey.
Hey.
Hello, Suzanne?
Yes.
Oh, how are you? I keep calling you and I keep yelling, but I don't know what lines I guess are crazy.
And who am I talking to, please?
My name's Nick. I'm in New York. I'm happy. Thank you very much for taking the call. I'm just so happy to get in touch with you. I wanted to ask you a question about my father had passed away, and he's dead for quite a few years. And I was just wondering if he had anything, any messages or anything.
Well, you know, I'll tell you what I'm going to say to you, Nick, very, very quite literally. First of all, I got to tell you, now, are you a dad?
Yes, I am.
Okay, because your father says he wants to congratulate you for Father's Day. So I took that to be as a very, very nice connection.
Oh,
so
yes.
He really wants you to know that he's giving you an honor for Father's Day. So I know he's giving you literally the honor because he wants you to be, you know, connected to that. I also think, now, did he know your child?
Yes, he did.
Okay, because I also got a connection with the child as well.
Yes.
Yes. Is this a daughter?
No.
It's a boy?
Yes.
Okay. Then I got to tell you something. He comes as a very, very gentle being.
That would be him.
Yeah, because, you know, I'll often get, you know, the sex is opposite and always has to do with the energy. But I want to tell you, your father definitely talks about a connection. Now, he's also telling me, Nick, that I'm getting named three times. So somewhere, either your name or his name has been passed on three times.
Yes, it has.
Yes.
Probably, well, yes, it's him. He started it, and then me, and then my son.
Wow, there you go. There you go. So he obviously, that he's definitely doing the honor all the way down. Now, I'm going to tell you one other quick thing here. At the end was not a lot of fun for your daddy, Nick.
No, I know that. It was terrible.
Tell me that he was really, really ill, and
yes.
I think that it was very hard in his dignity to have his family see him this way.
Yes, it was.
Yeah, so he wants you to know that he's not in that way anymore.
I guess he's very happy. I'm so happy he's happy.
I think that that's probably very true. Now, Mama's still here. Am I correct on that?
He is.
Yeah, so you definitely give Mama a hug for him, all right?
I certainly will. Does he have any other... he also has my son passed away as well. I was just wondering if they hang out together.
Oh, I think they most definitely do. So that's why he's talking about the son, then.
Yeah, I would imagine so.
That's why, and that's probably why I'm getting the energy of being so gentle of spirit, because he quite literally is. Yeah,
yes.
It makes a lot of sense. Now, he was youngly passed, from what I'm gathering.
My son was, not my father.
Yeah, your son was young, because this comes as a younger male.
Yes.
Yeah. Oh, interesting. But I could tell you this was a while ago, because he's grown up more on the other side, that I will tell you.
Yes, he died about 4 years ago.
Yeah, yeah. And, you know, and they always let me know. Now, one other quick thing here. What's the June-July connection, Nick?
June-July.
Yeah, it's got to be a birth or passing that he's making reference to.
June or July. Well,
yeah.
My father was July, August, September... I don't know. I don't know.
You will think about
it. I don't know.
You will think about it.
I certainly will.
Because
June, July.
Pretty loud and pretty clear.
Yes. And because, you know, the J months in the summer, I will sometimes hear them double, but I'm definitely getting June or July. Now, I'm going to give you one other quick thing here. His mom's passed. His mom's been passed a long time.
Yes.
And there was definitely a connection between the two of them from what he's telling me.
Oh, he's very close to his mother.
Yeah, very, very close. And one other person. Who's Ann or Anna, please, Nick?
Oh, that's my mom's sister. That's his sister-in-law, and I guess it's my son's aunt.
Oh, wow. Now, is she with them also?
Yeah, she's passed,
yeah.
too.
So then they're all coming together.
Oh, wow.
That's pretty sweet.
Oh, that is so beautiful.
Yeah, that's really nice.
I forgot which one I had as the godmother, but she was my second son's godmother, not my first. But she's very close to my son.
Yeah, well, there you go. And they're all coming through together.
Oh, that is so. So they were all together then?
They're all together. They showed up to say hello to you for tonight and wish you a happy Father's Day, Nick.
Oh, that's so beautiful. Thank you so much, Suzanne.
You're very much, sweetie. And you have a good one, all right?
I will. God bless you.
God bless you, too.
Thank you.
Okay, bye-bye. Well, we finally got through. I figured if we clicked on another, the lines have been, you know, when the lines are off the hook and they're jammed, and I sometimes takes me a little while to do the click on here, but I think we did that very, very clearly. So just a couple reminders to everybody. As I had mentioned to Raina, I am definitely going to be working on doing the first Monday of every month with my travel schedule. So we're going to be aiming for July the 6th. Anybody has any questions, of course, all of that stuff is up on my webpage. If you don't go to the webpage often, I suggest to people to most definitely sign up for my newsletter. You'll get that automatically. It will tell you my schedule, where I'm going to be, what's coming up here. So where I'm going to be is this. Next week I'm going to be in Chicago, and I have a couple of times left for sessions, so I would suggest you call Patty ASAP and check with her. And I'd like to remind everybody, for the first time in a very long time, I'm going to be doing a weekend intensive at Omega. Again, all of this stuff is up on my site, and I know I get a lot of emails from people, and they say, you know, they've been really, really wanting to connect to me to do this intensive workshop stuff, and they've been asking me when I'm going to do one. Well, that is fact. I will be doing one coming up very, very quickly. Again, it'll be July the 10th to the 12th. And if you have never been to Omega and you've thought about coming, it's a phenomenal place. Go check out the catalog. Like I said, you can go right to my website, and it will lead you right to it. And you'll find that it's a very, very, very special place to sort of, like, connect to. Just a few other things I want to mention here is that I will be doing a lot of, you know, East Coast stuff for, you know, much of the summer, but then in the fall I'm going to be, you know, kind of all over, and all that stuff is already pretty much posted on my webpage as well. But the only thing that's not up there is I will be definitely visiting the Northwest, and I'll also be visiting Toronto. So for all you folks that have seen my show in Canada and want to connect with me, keep the heads up on my site, because I will be definitely doing that again. And so it is always, always, always my pleasure and honor to do what I love doing, connect with all of you folks out there. Like I said, you know, keep posted. And this show, by the way, and all shows are immediately archived. If you called in and you had a question or you want to just find out about a second time in relationship to my guest. And as always, I hope that everything you want may be yours. And with that, this is Suzanne signing out.
With the Lucky Land Slots, you can get lucky just about anywhere.
This is your captain speaking. We've got clear runway and the weather's fine, but we're just going to circle up here a while and get lucky. No, no, nothing like that. It's just these cash prizes add up quick. So I suggest you sit back, keep your tray table upright, and start getting lucky.
Play for free at LuckyLandSlots.com. Are you feeling lucky? No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus terms and conditions apply. See website for details.